Celebrate President's Day weekend with a double feature of America's Day at the Races on FS2. Tune into the show on Saturday, February 15th at 6 p.m. and for a special edition on Monday, February 17th at 4 p.m. Eastern, showcasing the biggest races from around the country, from Aqueduct, Gulfstream, Santa Anita, Fairgrounds, and Oaklawn. Saturday's show features both divisions of the Risen Star and the Rachel Alexandra. For more information, visit NyraBets.com. And please feel free to use the $200 sign-up bonus with your promo code MONEY20 if you're a new customer. New customers get $200 to bet if they use the promo code MONEY20 through the NyraBets app or NyraBets.com. Hello and welcome to the Naira Bets Players Podcast. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, back with you in the Brooklyn Bunker once again, returning to the normal format on this show. The last couple of weekends, we have looked at the cross-country pick fives. There is one this week, but we decided to go back and just look at the five races that will comprise the late pick five at Aqueduct. Looking forward to playing these races. Hopefully the weather is going to cooperate us. I'll be playing from a little bit of afar, a little bit of an away game for me, as I'll be heading up to the little house on the east side up in Saratoga. But that always puts me in the mood to bet New York racing no matter what time of year it is. And to go over these five races with me, well, let me say this. One of the things I love about this show, our great array of guests. I feel like it's a continuing adult education course for me. I learn something every time I do one of these shows, and that's never more true than when we have today's guest on, looks at the world a little bit differently, exploded onto the scene with a big money third at last year's National Horse Players Championship, and he's back with us today. Matt Vagvolgi, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Pete. Good to talk. It's been a few hours, right?
I want to talk. Let's start with an NHC question. Obviously, you didn't capture the same secret sauce that propelled you to success last year. Do you have a sob story for us, or was it just not your 3 days?
I just don't think it was my 3 days. And I would say my biggest takeaway this year was just how important Friday is. I think it really emphasizes the horses you're going to play on Saturday for the cut line. That's just my opinion. I think I had a really good day the last time out on Friday. It really allowed me to take a deep breath and just continue to play the horses that I like and the range of odds that I like. Where, you know, I didn't have a great day on Friday. There were some things that came out of there that weren't expected. I looked at a few races at Aqueduct and Laurel that I liked. Those tracks canceled. And then off the turf at Gulfstream in Fairgrounds. So I literally had to scrap about 80% of my plan. Ugh. And almost kind of fell into what I think is one of the biggest rookie mistakes of just showing up to the NHC on Friday and saying, all right, let's do this. And just tracks going off like crazy, having, you know, you're missing track because you're just intent on this one. And I kind of felt not on purpose, but I kind of felt I was pushed into that that arena. So I knew it was going to be a tough sled and was just hoping to get lucky, but unfortunately couldn't capture it and then try to take some shots, which there were plenty available on Saturday, that's for sure. But unfortunately didn't have them. But I'll say this, for anybody that's listening that hasn't been in the NHC, I'm telling you, it's the second year in a row that I'm walking away from there with people that I've never met before in my life that I will 100% stay in contact with for the foreseeable future. And couldn't have had a better table. I sat next to Scott Coles for, you know, from Thursday to Sunday, literally every day. I had Brad Anderson right across from me, who I've never met, the winner of the BCBC. So just a phenomenal table and just a great time out in Vegas.
Very, very cool. And we got some good socializing in. That was, I really enjoyed the secret mezcal bar in the Cosmopolitan that we found on whatever that was. I think it might have been Sunday night. It all blurs together, but that was a cool place. I'd like to show up there sometime when I'm not already exhausted.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. I think there was a few times I questioned where in God's name are we going. But when the final door opened up, I kind of was like, all right, I think we're good.
Oh, that's too funny. Where do you center most of your horse playing this time of year?
You know, I do like to look at Gulfstream. I think that's kind of the natural pull. Just look at the different field sizes. I think the racing is competitive. But I got to say, I've been really drawn into Aqueduct, and that's the odd, God's honest truth, where it's just the fields, I think, have been really good. And there's been competitive races, and there's also been sequences of, like we've talked before, the pick five in general is where my draw really comes into play. And I've just felt like there's been a lot of plays at Aqueduct that I've liked, and, the fields have been good. So something about Aqueduct in the winter, I'm not sure exactly what it is. I think it reminds me of the winter days of hanging out, which I'm sure you remember, the old Tele Theater in Albany.
Sure.
Hanging out there with buddies of mine literally all day long in the winter, and obviously Aqueduct being the center of attention. So something about Aqueduct just reminds me of the doldrums of winter, and we're getting closer and closer to Derby, so that's always the positive in the back of my head, too.
It's true. In the modern world, we don't have to deal with going to a teletheater. We can now play from our phones wherever we are, which is certainly convenient. But I do remember my early days in the game being in New York City, the old teletheater that was also sort of a restaurant over on 52nd Street and 2nd Avenue, and going there and hanging out with the same group of folks. And back then, I was more concentrated on Gulfstream. I couldn't get away from the turf racing and the big fields and the thing that felt a little bit more like Saratoga. But over the years, I found my action gravitating more and more towards Aqueduct in the winter. And my results say that's a smart thing. I've done better there than I have anywhere else around the country. But of course, we do have Triple Crown races to look at this weekend at Fairgrounds. And I suppose you should count the El Camino Real out at Golden Gate as well. Not super likely to produce a contender, but something else to look at. Have you had a chance? I didn't prep you for this, so it's fine if the answer is no. But have you looked at any of the Triple Crown prep races for this weekend yet?
Very lightly. And I think you'll understand, Pete, this has been quite the difficult week. I got into Albany Airport about midnight. I was back in Albany Airport about 5 hours later. So, and right back on the road again. So it was, I questioned my life a few times, life choices, but it was things I couldn't really change business-wise. And it's been a long week, and I'm certainly feeling a bit, but had a chance, with some downtime to look at, obviously the races we'll talk about today, but scanned over. But I will say 100% once my 3-year-old hits the pillow tonight, I will certainly be taking a look at some of these prep races for sure.
The other thing you can do with this loaded Fairgrounds card on Saturday is just listen to the main In the Money show, the first half hour of which is Frank McGoey telling Frank McGoey stories and also going over the card for the graded stakes portion anyway. So you can always crib off him if you don't have time to look yourself. But let's dive in to this late pick five. It starts off with Aqueduct's fifth race, Phillies, 16 claimers going 6 furlongs. What did you come up with in here, Matt, to kick off this pick five?
A few horses I'm taking a look at, but one horse I'm going to concentrate quite a bit on, and that's the one Becca Takes Charge. Comes off a win against the 25K maidens, and Linda Rice places these horses nicely. 4-year-old sprinting, what I would call the mid to low claimers on the dirt, looking at 26% wins, and out of 27 starters. I think the horse on a pace standpoint really fits too. I think there's going to be some pace up front. I think fits in a perfect spot right behind the number 9, Dazzling Speed, and the 5, Summer Fantasy. I think also the 2 with a chance may push up there as well and get into that 3. But I think just leaves Becca Takes Charge in a perfect spot and I think could run him down late. So that will be a lone A for me. I'm not exactly always confident to say that in a $16,000 claiming race, but a couple others that I looked at in the number 8 or Orbalicious, second off the layoff for Donk. I felt needed the last race, and I think if the pace gets really hot up front, especially for some reason, if Becca Takes Charge gets dragged into that early pace, you're going to be loving having Orbalicious. I think we'll have the best late pace coming in into the stretch. And then the last one that I would throw in as a B, looking at the 12, Remembering Bobby, you know, cuts back from a mile against, 25 claimers last time out. It's closed into slow paces, so certainly gets a better pace up front, I think, to run into. My only concern is I think there's horses that are better that are going to be in a similar spot and may get the jump. But, for me, I concentrate on the one, Becca Takes Charge, but also B's that I'll have there are the 8, 12, and 2 as well.
I like what you're saying there. Orbalicious for me is my top pick. Looks very interesting for the reasons you said. I feel like you can just toss the last in addition to needing it. Didn't break particularly well and was stuck inside. Just looks like one with decent races to run back to that should do a lot better here. And I like your others to mix in on the tickets as well. Let's talk about race number 6 at Aqueduct. We've got 40K claimers going 6 furlongs. On paper to me, I was going to spread a little bit here. On paper to me, it looks like Aristocratic and Win With Pride might be able to have it between them. Aristocratic is a flow move up out of the last, probably clears, loves the distance. Win With Pride has run okay the last two times, might even be better on fast dirt, should get first run or maybe even make the lead with the bug. And I feel like if they go too fast, they're going to have to deal with Life in Shambles, the Fig horse, who might benefit if they hot it up front. How did you see this one?
I'm in agreement with you, Pete, especially on the pace side of things. I'm in complete agreement with Time Form's projection here on a pace being slow. And I think that Win With Pride may just let the 7 Aristocratic go. Even though it'll be slow up front, like you said, I think Win With Pride could get first run. So that's certainly a horse that I'm going to play. And for the exact same reasons with Life Is Shambles, I think that if there is a bit of a competitive pace up front, higher than I expect, Life of Shambles is certainly going to be the horse you want to have picking a plate. And as soon as I picked up the PPs, it's just Life in Shambles reminds me of what I felt like on mid-Saturday at the NHC. So,
hunch play?
Yeah, it could be a hunch play. As soon as I saw that, the first thing that I thought of. So, but I think those are the three for me, the 3, 4, and 6. I think the 7 Aristocratic could be a play as well, just in case that horse gets out and shakes loose and just gives everybody else too much to do. But, if I'm looking at concentrating on two horses that I really like, it's going to be the 6 Win With Pride and the 3 Life in Shambles.
I feel like going with 3 here is going to work out being thin elsewhere. But let's talk about the hinge of this Naira pick 5. It is race 7, 4 and up New York bred allowance going 6 furlongs. I'm going to get crazy in here and reach for some real prices. So I want to, maybe you like something a little more logical than what I'm going to try to pull out of my hat. So we'll have you go first, Matt.
I'm sticking more on the logical side. So I'm really interested to hear what you have on price plays. But I think Bronx Bomber, Bulwark are interesting to look at. But I think the horse for me that gets, I think, the best trick would be the 6 Buxton Hoffman. I think we'll sit behind what could be a pretty good speed duel between the 9 Papa Jim and the 11 Cool Boy. I think those two do hook up, and I think finds Buxton Hoffman in a great spot. And if you look at Rudy and Rudy Rodriguez in allowance races, that purses 60,000 and above on the state bred level. I mean, had pretty nice win percentage, 20% wins, 51% in the money, and a nice median win of $7 plus. So, I think a horse that's placed properly, I think could get the trip. And, I think you may get all that 5-1. I don't know. I think that, the others I mentioned with Bulwark coming off the pace, I think that's going to be someone in kind of the middle pack that's going to be able to pounce late. I kept coming back to the 6 Buxton Hoffman with Bronx Bomber as my 2 top A's, and my B's would be the 8 Bulwark and also the number 9 Papa Jim. Again, just in case I'll pause for a second there. Of one thing I would say for sure, pay attention early to Aqueduct in terms of how the races are being run. This came to fruition again out at the NHC, where, you know, Scott Coles and I were just kind of in the corner of our eye looking at Aqueduct, and like, man, there's some pretty bad horses that are hanging around in the numbers. And we both looked at the same race, and sure enough, got a horse that was pretty loose in the lead, wound up being the longest price in the field that came home and got the money. So that changed. You know, you look at the next day, that changed quite a bit, where horses coming off the pace. So I think paying attention to how that track is running is certainly important. So again, why I would consider the 9 in there is just for that speed edge that might be able to shake loose.
It's a very good point. And that's a great thing about playing the late pick 5. You have the races ahead of it to try to get some sense of what the track is doing. Of course, no turf racing, so you get 4 full races before you have to commit on a day like this. And that might change what I'm going to do here if speed is holding, because my thoughts on getting a long shot in were that maybe there's just too much pace here and we can play it for a meltdown. And that's why I ended up looking at a horse like 1029 coming out of slow paced races where he's actually finished up okay. If you look on pace figures, they're kind of buried decent races, I think. And I felt like maybe had a chance if there is a meltdown. Positively just has a little figure pattern thing I like, matching the top figure in the first start at 4. Sometimes that can portend another forward move, should be a big price. And Morgantown comes here off of 2 less than ideal trips and just has a couple of races to run back to. So I was going to try to center around those 3. I will change that idea if, in fact, the speed is holding really well. And if it is a speed day, this horse will probably not be on my tickets if I think you can close. But I didn't hate Cool Boy, who lost his chance at the start last time and should be a big price and up in the vanguard. So this is we typically center more or less around the same horses. This time I think we've named almost everyone in the field and don't have any of the same ones. So this will be interesting. And I'm also not opposed in a race like this to get fairly spready with A's and B's and cover some of the logicals you're mentioning if I'm sort of on the fence about how the track is playing. What did you think about Cool Boy or any of the others I mentioned?
Yeah, no, I mean, if you dig into the PPs, I mean, that's, again, looking at my notes here, I mean, I have question mark, you know, a closing kick, meaning with that shorthand for me is the track playing to closers. And I think every horse that you mentioned, if you dig into those PPs, you see some meltdown races where the light bulb goes off. And I got to really look at these horses or consider these horses. And just like you said with Cool Boy, if there's a speed laden track, you know, it might duel with the 9. But like you said, if you know, the fast capper looks at that last race and is like, you know, not competitive, I disagree. I think you look at races prior to that, certainly fits. You know, if it's an evenly run track, it kind of falls into some of the selections that I was looking at there, just in terms of the trip and where I think certain horses will be. But I also do have, you know, another note here that says grade at all. And what I mean by that is just grouping horses, essentially playing just about every horse in the race. I don't know if I'll play every horse, but just about every horse in this race. But group them in a way where I'm pressing my top selections, and then my B's and C's are graded based on dollar denominations for the bet. So I'm not a fan of pressing the all button on one ticket. I'm of just kind of evenly pricing every horse. But I think this is a race where you do try to you do want to get some coverage. But I think it's big to see how this track is playing will be huge.
All right, let's move on to the late double. Starts with race 8, the Broadway Stakes, going 6 furlongs. I have a horse I kind of like in here in Bluegrass Jamboree, who I felt like ran really well last time, all things considered, taken back off a modest at best pace and finding trouble thereafter. Just one of these horses that I feel like should make a forward move in this spot. What did you like in race number 8?
I agree. I think this is it's a short field, but a very tough field. I think you can make cases for just about everybody in here. Like everything you mentioned with Bluegrass Jamboree is why I'm in consideration of the horse. The horse I liked the most, I think, out of all is Cash Offer. I think a versatile horse, you know, runs in a flop, runs on fat tracks. I love that. It can run on anything. I think has also performed well at this distance in state bred company. And again, I think we'll sit close to the pace. It's not going to let what I feel to be the six to step out and get away. So I think, again, Schitt's a trip, I think, is also the best horse in the race. I know most will say, well, you know, Hayfield beat Cash Offer. I don't think Cash Offer got the best ride possible, and I'm leaving that lightly. if you go back and watch that replay, I just thought was hustled up early for no reason and just didn't have anything left in the tank in the end. So I think with the right ride, I think it's the right trip, and it's just the type of horse that I really like. That's really versatile on different types of services that I think is talented enough to be the best. And you can't ignore the five. Kept true. I think we'll also be competitive, but this is a tough race. But if you're pushing me for a horse that I will lean on, I would say two horses that I'll lean on is going to be the number two Cash Offer, which I will single on some tickets. But I'm also going to include the three Bluegrass Jamboree as well.
Yeah, two and five for me were the ones that I wanted to use as Bs, just figuring that one of those two will be the best of speed. If Bluegrass Jamboree gets in a jackpot again because of a slow pace or just the fact that Bluegrass Jamboree, she's projected to be last early, I never like to see that. I do want to have some coverage from the front of the pack, and I think that the two and the five are the way to get it done. So with that, we'll move on to race number nine, the race where we see how we're going to get paid. And unlike many of these nightcaps where I feel like I want to have a ton of horses, I actually think I might be okay singling Queen of Everything in here. But you go first on this one and give me your run. And I mean, I think my case on Queen of Everything is pretty master of the obvious anyway. So what do you think about this one?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because before you gave who you like, that was going to be my question. I'm like, really interesting because I'm looking to take a bunch here. But again, if you look at my A horses, the nine Queen of Everything is certainly right there. And one track profile stat that I think I've been following quite a bit, if you know those outside post sprinting. Projected, you take it a little bit further, and you're looking at horses that are projected to be on or close to the lead. You know, if you look over the last month, 53 starters, 15% wins with a positive 61% ROI. And if you look over the last 2 weeks, because I always like to see, has that changed a bit? You know, is there something that I should take a deeper look at? And again, why the statistics shouldn't just be a blind play? It's kind of a guide to take a look at how the race plays out and where you see horses either getting the lead or sitting off the pace. And I just think it kind of fits perfectly. You know, over the last 2 weeks, it's, you know, a nice positive 18% ROI with the same subset that I gave you. So I agree with you where that's a horse I will lean, but there's a few other horses that I do like. The number eight Thunderella with my man Fukumoto from Woodbine. I caught a nice win play on him on Sunday at the NHC, where he kind of popped off the chart for me of, why is this guy here? And I took a look at the race a little bit deeper and wound up cashing nice. I think the style of the horse, I think he fits him perfect. That's a horse I'm certainly going to pay attention to. I'm going to give you a fuzzy horse and just bear with me on this one. And it's a type of race where I think it's a pretty evenly matched race, and I'm looking always for something different. And something different is the number three. And Pete, I'm going to ask some help on the name here. What is that? Ukiah? How do you say that?
Yeah, I was going to go Ukiah. I'm not certain of that, but that feels right.
Yeah, number three, Ukiah, 20-1 on the morning line. And I looked at, if you look at Ralph Alessandro's horses, not the biggest sample size, but 17 starters, the first time starters, 17 starters, 18% wins. 30% in the money with an absolute astronomical ROI of a positive 639%. Now, taking even a deeper look into the charts, two huge bombs came exactly in a race like this. If you look at Aqueduct, if you look sprinting at State Breds, Maiden Claimers, that's exactly where these bombs came from. So could be a horse that's left off the board. You know, a trainer that shows me can at least get some of these horses ready to run first out. In a pick five sequence, if something like that jumps off the board to me, again, not something I'm running to the windows to bet, but if I can include that horse in a pick five sequence, I'm probably going to hold a lot of that value if I'm right and it does take money, the horse does take money, but I think something I can hide in the pick five where, you know, hey, if I get live to it, You know, I look at adding horses like this. I kind of do the math of almost like an insurance premium of what's the cost per horse to add to a ticket. And I just think in this case, for that type of value, and then some of these stats that are jumping out at me, and also looking at the races where they've been successful with some really big prices, I think that's a horse for sure that I'm gonna throw in.
I love Fuzzy that there, case. I think it's very clever, and I think you make a lot of good points about her. And even if there is, she could legitimately be a crazy price and win, as you mentioned those other D'Alessandro horses have. But let's just say she ends up being a bit of a wise guy horse for one reason or another. I'm pretty sure you're going to lock in a much bigger price than the 20-1 in the pick five pool. So there's a few different reasons why it makes sense to get stuck there. I like your ideas. Just for me, Queen of Everything just fits super duper well against this group on figures, projects an absolutely great trip, and I feel like was stuck down inside last time on a day where that is not where you wanted to be, and still ran well enough to be very competitive against this group. I think in reality, she might be a little bit better than that and might just bury him. But I have no problem, as thin as I am and as thin as I can make this ticket in some places with those horses I want to press earlier, I'm happy to take some coverage with those backups. And we've had a pretty good record when we've done this show together, Matt. Hopefully we can get some stuff done. One of the shows, I know we gave out a ticket, or you really gave out a ticket that hit. And on the other one, I think we missed a leg, but I know there were some prices mentioned that helped some other people cash. And that's really what it's all about. Hopefully we can keep our run of success going today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've got some prices in the mix there. I think we've got, which always helps, some different opinions as well. So you're looking at building your tickets. You may add a horse or two here. And I think a great point where it's like the best case scenario where if in the last example, if the three takes a lot of money in the live win odds, I'm not going to be crushed because I can't bet it, but I'll be happy because I got in the pick five if I'm still alive there. So it could be kind of best of all worlds if that happens. But looking to keep it going and hopefully cash some tickets.
Fingers crossed. Are you traveling again this weekend or do you actually get to settle down for a few days?
No, I'm actually settling for a few days. I purposely took a day in my office today and Friday to try to recoup and get back to it. And a couple days on the weekend will be somewhat local and got a few things to do. But I would say the another thing too with if you know obviously family life and things going on. You can put in these pick fives and get some other stuff done and check in from afar. You know, you can get the work done, get it in. You don't have to kind of play race by race. And, you know, a good example of that was playing the cash out pick six at Gulfstream. You know, put that in and hung out at Chowderfest at Saratoga for the afternoon. And
I was sad to miss it this year. there were some good options.
Oh, phenomenal. Oh, my God. Chowderfest, if you're ever in the area, in the Saratoga area in the winter, again, not usually where you'll be winter time, but if you ever are, well, Chowderfest, where just about every restaurant will come up with their own chowder version, and I think it's like $1 per cup for every single chowder. You literally walk around. The streets are packed. It's a great time, and I give my vote to Salt and Char's chowder, like a brisket based chowder.
Ooh.
And I quickly pulled a Yui and got a second helping. So it was good. It was one of those not good for you, but very good going down for sure. So that's my
awesome.
Vote for Ben.
Usually Super Bowl weekend for folks looking to enjoy. I am excited to get back up there this weekend, and we will be going to somewhere, and there's plenty of options, but somewhere that has good beer and pizza. So Harvest and Hearth could be on the menu. This new, whatever it is called, brew pub on Church. Or no, it's not on Church. It's on Lake Walton Whitman or something like that. And then there's the new pizza place right next to Henry Street Tap Room, owned by the same people. We'll be in one of those probably on, we'll probably be hanging out in town on Sunday. If you're a listener and you see me, Perrin, and Susan in there hanging out playing board games and betting on the phone, please come and say hello. It should be a lot of fun. All right, Matt, I need to let you get back to work. So I got to get things ready so we can make this trip up north. But I just want to thank you one more time for all your help here today. Godspeed this weekend, and hopefully we get to hang out again soon.
Absolutely, Pete. Great to see you at the NHC, and good luck this weekend with all your bets.
That's going to do it for this edition of the show. Thanks one more time to Matt Vagvolgi, and thanks also to our sponsors for this show, Naira Bets. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. In the Money Media's business manager is Drew Cotney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos.
I guess the Lord must be in New York City. Well, here I am, Lord, knocking at your back door. Ain't it wonderful to be where I've always wanted to be? For the first time, I'll breathe free here in New York City.